3 days have passed since the Green Bay Packers collapse in the NFC Championship game. Because we're gluttons for punishment, we'll take one last look at it with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com in his season-ending appearance on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowen, along with Alex Talich, we're talking some Packers football. We're still taking a look back at that NFC Championship loss. I know it's tough, but we'll try to get some rationale and break it down with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Joining us for his season-ending appearance, Nathan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Brian?
Good. Thanks for joining us. As we look back at this tough game to look at for a Packers fan, I think people kind of want to figure out, you know, what went wrong. And there's so many, you know, scapegoats, I guess you could point at from Brandon Bostic to A.J. Hawk on special teams. And certainly they're not alone. But one player kind of stood out to me from ProFootballFocus.com, the lowest graded player from the game, Clay Matthews. What led to his low grade?
Sure. There were a number of things that all added up to the low grade that he received. For one, he was penalized twice, which is huge with his penalty grade. He was graded lowest in that category. He had two missed tackles, which was, I think a lot of Packers had a number of missed tackles in this game. And then in coverage, he allowed three catches for 47 yards, two of those went for first downs. So he graded negatively in run defense and coverage and in his penalty grade. So all of that put together led to an overall poor grade. On the bright side, he did have a sack and two hits. So he was actually the best Packers pass rusher of the week. And then he did have a run stop on a third down, but too many bad things weren't able to make up for the few good things that he had in the game.
Clay Matthews wasn't alone. I noticed nearly every player on the Packers front seven graded out negatively, yet the Packers played rather good defense for the better part of four quarters. What was the rationale for, you know, basically the front seven's grades?
Sure. Basically, all of that had to do with their play against the run. In terms of pass rushing, no one was too great or too poor. And then in coverage, only A.J. Hawk stood out as having a poor day in coverage. So this is basically all to do with the run. And early in the game, they were doing a fine job stopping Marshawn Lynch, just nine carries for 37 yards in the first half. But then in the second half, as well as overtime, he had 16 carries for 120 yards. So typically when you see those kind of numbers and that high of yards per carry, it's due to one really long run. But Lynch didn't have that. He had a long of 24 yards. So it was just consistent getting positive yards running the ball. And the Packers weren't doing a good job stopping him. They had 16 missed tackles on Seattle runners in this game, which is a huge amount for a single game. So only Mike Daniels had a positive run defense grade, but the rest of them had consistent poor plays against the run, which led to all of them having an overall negative grade.
Now, over in the secondary, safeties Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix might be remembered more for their one big mistake each player made, but otherwise they had pretty good games. Can you sum up their positive performances?
Sure. Morgan Burnett most notably had two sacks in the game, which he only had one sack all season, so that was a little bit of a surprise. But in coverage, he was never thrown at and, of course, had the one interception, which it's still better to get an interception and go down right away than to have no interception at all. So while some people might blame him, he still had a good play there, even if he didn't have the best possible play he could have there. As for Clinton Dix, he had an excellent game. He had two interceptions, a pass defense, and he had no catches allowed outside of that two-point play. So he had a really good day in coverage, all things considered. So while the Packers might have a number of needs on defense this offseason, for the first time in a while, it looks like safety might not be a need for them.
We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, on the other side of the football, Aaron Rodgers, he's usually the one constant on the Packers roster, head and shoulders above the competition. He didn't play terrible on Sunday, but he really didn't play all that well in a very important game for the Packers. Where could Rodgers have done better?
Sure, there were two areas that I noticed where Rodgers typically does better than he did in this game. And one of them was on deep passes. He threw the ball in the air for 20 yards or more on six passes, and he had just as many completions to Packers as he did on Seahawks on those throws. Also, under pressure, he didn't do as well as he typically does. He was under pressure on one in every three dropbacks, which isn't too bad. But he only completed 4 of 11 passes when under pressure for 34 yards, and he was sacked once. So both of those kind of plays, plays under pressure as well as deep throws, are a little more high variance and plays that Seattle is typically good at defending, and the injury could also have something to do with that. So overall, Rodgers played above average for a typical quarterback, but still not as good as we typically see out of Rodgers.
The offensive line did a pretty good job protecting Rodgers, considering especially they're playing a darn good defense. Who stood out on the offensive line?
Sure. First off, the offensive line did an excellent job as a whole in pass protection. No one stood out as particularly poor there. Josh Sitton and Corey Lindsley were both perfect in that. Didn't allow a sack, a hit, or a hurry in the game. And then David Bakhtiari, he graded well since offensive tackles, they typically give up a little more pressure. And he only allowed two pressures in this game, and both of them came very late within the play. So the longer an offensive tackle can pass block well, the better they'll grade there. So overall, a great effort in terms of pass protection. However, in terms of run blocking, they didn't do nearly as well. Josh Sitton actually had his best game of the year when you take into account both his run blocking and pass protection. But the line as a whole, they had Packers running backs. On average, they were contacted less than 1 yard before contact per carry. So on the average play, they were getting less than a yard away from the line of scrimmage before a Seattle defender was in contact with them.
One of the Packers' better players in the NFC Championship was Eddie Lacy, but I want to know is how he stacks up against the opposing running back in this game, Marshawn Lynch. Is Lacy at the same level as Lynch yet?
If you look at solely running with the ball, I don't think any running back this year or in the past 2-3 years is quite at the same level as Lynch is. Lynch just does an excellent job of making players miss tackles on him. On the year, he had 88 players miss tackles on him on his carries, where Lacy just had 49. And really, no running back was all that close to Lynch in that category. Both players averaged 4.7 yards per carry this year, but Lacy had a little bit more help out of the offensive line throughout the year than Lynch had, since the Packers have one of the best offensive lines in the league, where Seattle, their offensive line is possibly one of their weak points. But when you take into account other things, in terms of pass protection, both of them are very good. Neither allowed a single sack or hit all year, so they're about equal there. And then Lacy's a much better receiver than Lynch is. He did a better job of making guys miss on his reception, Lacy did, and Lacy had fewer drops, fewer fumbles there. So if you want a more complete back, I would take Lacy over Lynch, but if you are just solely looking at running with the football, Lynch is a little ahead of Lacy, and I'm not sure if Lacy will ever get to the point that Lynch is, since Lynch is playing out of this world good running with the football recently.
He is just a monster the way he runs over people. Not that Lacy can't, but Marshawn Lynch takes it to a new level. Nathan, if we were to take a look at one area of this Packers team, taking into consideration the season as a whole, not just the NFC Championship game, where does this Packers team need to improve for next season?
I think it's run defense and especially the middle front seven of the defense. In terms of the defensive line, Mike Daniels is a great player, and I'd like to see him get even more snaps than he's been getting. And then LaTroy Guion and Dayton Jones, they were five pass rushes this year, but really no one else on the defensive line stepped up too much against the run this year. So I'd like to see either improvements there or new players brought in there. And then same thing at linebacker. A.J. Hawk was among the lowest graded inside linebackers against the run. Had Brad Jones been given a lot more playing time, he would have been right up there too. And then while Sam Barrington doesn't have the embarrassing bad plays against the run like Hawk or Brad Jones sometimes do, he's still graded out negatively overall in all of the games he started against the run. So I'd like to see some new players brought in, both defensive line interior and inside linebacker. And I know Clay Matthews topped out a little bit there, but I think in an ideal situation, Matthews plays outside linebacker over inside linebacker if the Packers have the players to play inside linebacker. So that's really where I'd like to see the Packers attack in the draft and then maybe even bring in a free agent or two there.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement there. Nathan, for our last time, give you an opportunity to talk about ProFootballFocus.com. And I think it's interesting or important to note that if people were to go and get a subscription, you know, it lasts an entire year. The season's just ending, but if they were to get a subscription now, it would be for the entire 2015 season.
Yep, that's correct. For those who aren't familiar at Pro Football Focus, we grade every player on every play in every game, so we get a sense of how every player is doing. Not just the offensive skill players. And then we also keep track of a bunch of statistics that the NFL doesn't keep track of. Things like sacks and hits and hurries allowed by offensive linemen, missed tackles, yards after contact, those kind of things as well. And like you were saying, if you were to sign up today, that would last you till January 21st, 2016. So you would have that subscription for the rest of the upcoming season as well. And along with the subscription, if you go there, there are plenty of articles that you can read for free. I know later today we'll be releasing our 2014 PFF all NFC North team, so you can see how the Packers players stacked up this year compared to players in the division. And throughout the offseason, we'll be having plenty of content as well.
Looking forward to it, Nathan. I'm excited to see where they stack up in the NFC North. Thanks for joining us, not just today, but all season long, and we'll talk to you next year. Next season.
Sounds good. Yep. Thanks again for having me, and I'll talk to you again then.
Take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. Appreciate you tuning in to Cheesehead TV here, in which a time that people are still trying to suffer through this Packers loss. It was a tough one, among the toughest losses in franchise history, in the long, glorious history of the Green Bay Packers, in which it's nearing 100 years now. This is right up there near the top, as much as any of them that they've endured over the long, long time of the Green Bay Packers. But thanks to Nathan Yonke for joining us. We're on to, let me play that again. We got a sound bite here, if I can fix this.
Packers news of the day.
There we go. Packers news of the day. Lots of Pro Bowl news yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, pulls out of the Pro Bowl. And that shouldn't necessarily come as a surprise, since originally injuring his calf December 21 and basically not making it any better week after week as he goes out and plays on it. He's going to need 6 months of rest to heal that calf. So Aaron Rodgers can't be blamed for not playing in the Pro Bowl this season. Hopefully we'll see him again in future editions of the game, or hopefully not if you want to see the Packers play in the Super Bowl. But regardless, Aaron Rodgers out, Andy Dalton is in. I know there was a lot of attention on social media yesterday, noting the downgrade at the quarterback position from Aaron Rodgers to Andy Dalton of the Cincinnati Bengals. But anyway, unfortunate, you won't be able to see Aaron Rodgers play one last game this weekend, but you will be able to see two new Green Bay Packers after NFC Championship weekend, and they determined which teams would play in the Super Bowl. A couple players were, you know, deemed ineligible. I know Darrell Revis, cornerback for the New England Patriots, being one of them. That meant Packers cornerback Sam Shields is in. Not just him, but wide receiver Randall Cobb also going to the Pro Bowl. Him because Dez Bryant is out with an injury of the Dallas Cowboys. So Sam Shields and Randall Cobb going to play in the Pro Bowl. New additions to the roster came out, I believe that was Monday, in which they were named. And then finally, the pre-draft selections took place on Tuesday night. Packers offensive lineman Josh Sitton and fullback John Kuhn were selected to Team Carter, the team of captain by NFL alumni Chris Carter, former Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. So actually, it was a former division rival, longtime Minnesota Viking Chris Carter, selecting two Green Bay Packers for his team. Kind of ironic in a small way. But Josh Sitton and John Kuhn will be teammates in the Pro Bowl. Elsewhere in the world of the Green Bay Packers, the team signs 9 players to reserve / future contracts on Tuesday. Reserve and future contracts basically mean, starting with the new league year, they'll be on the team. Basically, when your season ends, rosters expand to 90 players once again, the off-season roster size in the NFL. So the Packers sign 9 out of 10 players from their practice squad and are bringing them back for the 2015 season, or at least the off-season portion. These kind of guys, you know, the players who are on the practice squad are long shots to make the team. But, you know, some of them are kept around because of their potential and, you know, because the Packers like them. The list is led by wide receiver Miles White, who was in a Packers uniform actually the 2013 season. He played for the Packers in the regular season for meaningful games, but then in 2014 he couldn't crack the roster, spent the whole year on the practice squad. A couple other players, running back Rajon Neal will be coming back, a couple of linebackers, Adrian Hubbard and Joe Thomas will be back. They were signed to free agent contracts on Tuesday. So Packers signing 9 players. Not a lot of big names here, but, you know, guys like Adrian Hubbard, they kind of feel like maybe a diamond in the rough here. Big, big linebacker in the mold of a Julius Peppers. So excited to see the strides he made with a year on the practice squad, a year of seasoning, and seeing if he can make an impact going forward. Elsewhere, other news, the Kansas City Chiefs signed a pair of former Packers to contracts on Tuesday, and not just, you know, former Packers. What's interesting is they were actually high round draft picks, very high round. The Chiefs signed offensive lineman Derek Sherrod, a former first round draft choice of the Packers in 2011. Follow that up with signing Jarrell Worthy, defensive lineman, a second-round draft choice in 2012, and you can obviously see the connection between Chiefs GM John Dorsey, former Packers front office executive. These players were actually acquired during his time with the Packers organization. So kind of going back to his roots a little bit for looking at some talented and yet troubled players. Maybe not off the field troubles so much, but some guys who have some warts, we'll say, between Sherrod and Worthy. Sherrod, his shortcomings had more to do with injury than anything, suffering that gruesome broken leg, broke his tibia and the fibula his rookie year in the NFL, never quite recovered from that. Packers, keeping him on the roster all the way through mid-season this year, when during the bye week they made some changes and he was one of them. And then, Jarrell Worthy, as you might remember, was traded right before the season began. One of the rare trades the Packers make with the New England Patriots. Turns out the Patriots cut him as well, so the Packers don't end up getting any compensation. But it did mark the end of his time in Green Bay. So wish them all the best of luck. They were definitely... didn't live up to their high round expectations with the Green Bay Packers, but good guys, wish them no ill will. I'm dubious if they're going to see any success with the Chiefs organization. And that brings us to
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Actually, kind of extends beyond 1265 Lombardi Avenue, especially in the offseason. What's going on today? We mentioned all these Pro Bowl, news that happened over the past 24 hours here. So it continues into Wednesday night. The Pro Bowl draft will take place Wednesday night. So the rest of the Green Bay Packers will join Josh Sinn and John Kuhn, have already been selected. It's kind of weird. They kind of take the unglamorous positions, the interior offensive linemen and defensive linemen, the fullbacks, and then all the special teams players, kickers, punters, returners, and they don't get the TV exposure. The rest of the glamour positions, I guess, get tonight. But four Packers players will be selected tonight. Wide receivers Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, along with on the defensive side, linebacker Clay Matthews and cornerback Sam Shields. They'll all hear their names called tonight when they are selected to either Team Irvin or Team Carter in the Pro Bowl. That is televised on the NFL Network at, I believe, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Meanwhile, back in Green Bay, head coach Mike McCarthy kind of puts an exclamation point on the season, metaphorically. He wraps up the season on Wednesday. He'll have his final press conference of the season at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time. That'll be streamed on the Packers official website, packers.com. So if you want to tune in to the last time Mike McCarthy meets the media, might be a little bit interesting. Mike McCarthy, in the aftermath of the game, basically saying no regrets. And, he's kind of received a little bit of criticism for that. Not that I'm certainly not in the camp where I'm placing the entire blame of the Packers' loss on their head coach. I'm not like that. However, I do think, just like any play, I think you ask almost any player of the Packers, there's plays they want back, that they'll admit they made mistakes. However, hasn't really been the same for Mike McCarthy. No regrets, Mike McCarthy. I don't know if it's just, in the aftermath of the game, while the adrenaline is still perhaps pumping, if he kind of, is a little bit blind to and a little bit defensive about, what he could have done better and mistakes he made as a coach. We'll see if he has any more remorse, or maybe now that things are a few days past, he's had time to reflect and see how he feels differently about this game. So we'll find out then. And then also the season finale of the Mike McCarthy Show at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. I know I've just from the little I've gathered from host Lance Allen on Twitter, he noted that it'll be airing on WTMJ in Milwaukee and NBC 26 in Green Bay. Normally, the Mike McCarthy Show airs on a much larger network of stations, but it's air because it's the last edition. It's airing on an atypical Wednesday as opposed to Tuesdays. I don't know if that changes, you know, what networks it ends up, you know, airing on or what days of the week. Sometimes they're, you know, not every network airs on the same day. It's complicated. But anyway, at least, you know, at several stations in Wisconsin, you can catch the season finale of the Mike McCarthy Network or Mike McCarthy Show and see what the head coach has to say to a televised audience. That's what's happening on a Wednesday in the world of the Green Bay Packers. You know, just to wrap up the show here, and I saw basically the discussion on the live blog, and the discussion has already passed this up on our, you know, little chat stream, but right away they were everybody's understandably looking ahead to next season, and they were talking about the salary cap. And basically the Packers are in really good shape for 2015 and ahead. They've already got, you know, money that they'll carry over, $10 million roughly, that, you know, if you don't use it, you get to carry over. So they, you know, left about $10 million on the salary cap this season. They'll get to carry over. The salary cap is expected to increase this year, you know, rather substantially. I think this is the first year that really the television deals kick in and the players start seeing a bigger chunk of the money. Not that it hasn't increased in past seasons, but perhaps this might be the biggest percentage it increased in several years. So Packers will be gaining some money there. And you look at that, and they're going to have $20 million roughly or so to spend, or even a little bit more than that, pardon me. And, you know, you look at the guys who are becoming free agents. And I think priorities A and B in free agency will be re-signing Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga. I personally think it's nearly a given that both of these players will be back in a Packers uniform. I can't say 100%. I mean, obviously, they have the right to test free agency and see if there's another team out there that will, you know, offer them a nice contract, or perhaps they even just hope that it'll increase the bidding for the Packers to sign them, and the Packers will have to pay more to retain their services. But I do think both Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga will end up in a Packers uniform. There are other Packers free agents this year who they'll look to sign as well. Defensive lineman, nose tackle, LaTroy Guyon. Three cornerbacks are all free agents. Tremont Williams, Devon House, and Jarrett Bush. You got to expect that not all three of them will be back. Perhaps only one or two. Perhaps only one. Which will it be? I'm not really sure right now. You know, it's amazing. Just yesterday, I think a lot of people on social media were already kind of looking at things like this and asking, you know, who's going to be back on the Packers next year. And I'm comfortable right now in saying I think Cobb and Bulaga will be back. Beyond that, I'm not really sure right now. Part of it will be, you know, seeing how much that salary cap increases. You know, once we know that and it's finalized, maybe I'll have a better idea. And we'll just see how the team feels about itself going forward. Well, let's wait to hear Mike McCarthy's comments here today and at the NFL Combine in a few weeks and things like that. And, you know, we got some time until free agency and the draft and see how these changes might take place. So, you know, that I don't think the Packers don't necessarily have to make decisions today. Oh, and beyond that as well, Packers can gain some salary cap space by basically releasing two players in particular, who have exorbitant salaries, both of them at the inside linebacker position, A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones. The Packers would probably gain about $3-4 million each if they were to release those two players. So it's looking rather likely that A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones have played the last snaps in a Packers uniform. Again, can I go out on a limb and say it's 100%? Perhaps they would, one of them or both of them would accept a salary cut with the understanding they're coming back strictly as a backup next year. You know, I think the odds of that happening are probably rather slim, you know, but I suppose I can't rule it out at this point. Who knows? But Packers could gain some salary cap space there. So be interesting to see how all these things play out during the offseason and where the Packers go from here, how they build their roster for the 2015 season and beyond. I know people are already kind of looking at, too, you know, Mike Daniels, Packers, you know, terrific defensive lineman, as we talked about with Nathan Jahnke earlier in the show. You know, he enters this upcoming year, 2015, the final year of his contract, and I know people already kind of understand, oh, he, you know, Packers should, you know, extend him. You know, how soon that happens, not really sure. I agree, too. Mike Daniels is a player you want to build around, but are they going to do it anytime soon or kind of wait to extend him to a year from now? You know, that's kind of in the further down the road mode right now. So, but it'll be fun to talk about this all off season and where the Packers go from here. If you haven't already, folks, I posted there's a lot of great content at Cheesehead TV, by the way, right now. Zach Cruz kind of taking one last excruciating look back at the NFC Championship game, along with an X's and O's viewpoint from Paul Ockruth, one of our commenters at Cheesehead TV. Go check those out. I personally already got started on the report card grades for the Green Bay Packers. We kind of pride ourselves here at being the first to offer, though. You're going to see almost every media outlet that covers the Packers offer their own grades for the Green Bay Packers, but we are glad to get ours out first here at Cheesehead TV. Offense and defense already published. We'll be releasing the special teams and coaches later today. So go check that out if you're interested here at Cheesehead TV. But that'll do it for today's edition of Real Bird Central. We'll be back again on Friday. We'll be checking in with our friend Pigskin Paul Guillemette from the site of the Senior Bowl, where Packers front office execs, general manager Ted Thompson, scouts, they're there right now at the site of the Senior Bowl, checking out prospects for the NFL draft practice throughout the week. So Paul Guillemette is there. We'll get his thoughts on what's happening at the Senior Bowl and kind of take a look at guys who may be future Packers when the NFL draft comes around. So looking forward to that, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the live edition at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com. But we'll see you then in 2 days, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go Pack.